Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 28 November, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, before we get started, first things first, today is Valerie's birthday today. And Valerie, she is blessed. She's one of the few people that has cats and they're all Christians. So happy birthday to Valerie. That's fantastic. I told her that I got a text from Don, who's in heaven. And the Lord and Don knew that it was Valerie's birthday, so they were having a party. The Lord provided the wine, which is the best, and I'm sorry I can't give Valerie the wine like the Lord makes, but it's number two. Kind of like the Lord is the best fisherman of all time. I'm just trying to be number two. That's all. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we are constantly amazed at your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have exegeted verse 1, and it sounds like this. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. And at that point, we stop to take a look at the doctrine of physical death. We've studied the first 9 points of the doctrine of physical death. We have noted in point one, physical death is defined as separation of the soul from the body so that the person no longer lives on planet Earth. The soul never dies, it lives forever. After death, the soul of the believer resides in an interim body until the rapture, and then at the rapture, it receives a resurrection body. However, the soul of the unbeliever leaves the body and goes to Hades, a compartment in Hades called torments, and remains there until the end of human history. Then the unbeliever is resurrected, the second resurrection, and brought before the great white throne judgment and the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is judged and then cast into the lake of fire, providing eternal agony, Revelation 20, 11 to 15. And there he is under eternal condemnation and judgment. Point three, there are three categories of alternatives of life. Category one, the option to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. John chapter 1, verse 12. Anyone, any place, anywhere can receive the gift of eternal life through simple faith in Jesus Christ. The alternative is not to believe in Jesus Christ and come under judgment and the wrath of God, John 3:18, John 3:36. Category number two is the believer's option. To live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. But to accomplish this requires daily decisions. To live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The alternative of this option is to live your life by the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, which is a miserable life for the believer, characterized by self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if you never turn around, the sin unto death. Category number three, this is the believer's option to die well under dying grace. Philippians 1:21, for to me living is Christ and dying is profit. The Apostle Paul died under dying grace. Dying grace is the experience of physical death under the special provision of grace, whereby the believer involved experiences both blessing and happiness while dying. We noted that in Psalm 23, verse 4, Psalm 33, 18 and 19, Psalm 116, verse 15, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. The alternative is to die under maximum divine discipline, and that is the sin unto death. And we have that coming up in our, normally our Thursday night class, 1 John 5, verse 16. Point four, the believer's death is always God's victory. God gives this victory to all believers through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Point five, physical death cannot separate the believer from God. Romans 8:37 to 39. Point six, physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God based on his perfect knowledge of all the facts. Point seven, there is one generation of church-age believers that will not experience physical death, and that is the rapture generation. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Point 8, resurrection is victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 57. Point 9 was the application principles to the living. Your comfort in time of grief and sorrow must come from the Lord, which means that the source of comfort comes from the Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. In both in death, your loved ones have entered a place of far, far greater happiness and blessing than you could ever experience on this earth. With your sorrow, you will also carry your fragrance of memories. And with that fragrance of memories, you will never resent the happiness and the laughter of those who go on living. And you too must go on living, which means that your grief is a private matter between you and the Lord. Your loneliness in grief and sorrow belongs to you personally. Your fragrance of memories belongs to you personally. Your comfort from the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your soul belongs to you personally. Your assurance and tranquility that your loved ones are in heaven belongs to you personally. Metabolized doctrine in your heart gives you the power to carry on and even to rejoice that your loved ones are in the presence of the Lord and that someday you will be there to join them. And now that brings us to point 10 in the doctrine of physical death. Application principles related to God. Application principles related to God. One, the physical death of the believer is a matter of the sovereignty, the integrity, and the wisdom of God. The physical death of the believer is a matter of the sovereignty, integrity, and the wisdom of God. Two, God is perfect, and therefore His wisdom is perfect. Three, God is omniscient. He's the all-knowing God. And therefore, He knows all the facts. He knows all the facts in the case of every single believer. Therefore, God selects the perfect time for each believer to die. God is eternally perfect, and therefore all of His sovereign decisions are perfect. And this is why, in the matter of our dying, the sovereignty of God supersedes our volition. Four, all decisions from the sovereignty of God are made in perfect wisdom and perfect integrity. That means the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. And that means God is infinitely fair with all of us. So all decisions from the sovereignty of God are made in perfect wisdom and perfect integrity, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And this includes the time, the manner, and the place of every believer's death. Five, the death of every believer is always a matter of God's grace and God's wisdom. The death of every believer is always a matter of God's grace and God's wisdom. Therefore, the believer's death is God's victory, whether that believer was a winner or a loser in his Christian life. Six, since God is immutable, and since He has infinite personal love for every believer, remember, personal love always puts the spotlight on the object. And how can God have infinite perfect love for us? Because at that moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputed to each one of us the righteousness of God. And because we have the righteousness of God imputed to us at the moment of salvation, justification by faith, God can love us with infinite personal love. Because he looks at you and looks at me and looks at every believer, and what does he see? His righteousness. And therefore he can love us with infinite personal love because we have his righteousness. Since God is immutable and has infinite personal love for every believer, it is impossible for God to do anything which is incompatible with his love for us. Since God is immutable and has infinite personal love for every believer, it is impossible for God to do anything which is incompatible with his infinite personal love for us. Now, the unbeliever, God doesn't have infinite personal love for the unbeliever. He does not have the righteousness of God. God loves all unbelievers with infinite impersonal love. And he demonstrated that impersonal love for all unbelievers by designing Operation Grace, the plan of salvation. He demonstrates that impersonal love for every unbeliever by sending his Son from heaven to earth that first Christmas. And we're at that time. You know, I get on my computer, all I can see is Black Friday. Doesn't mean a damn thing. Every day is Christmas. And I don't see anything black about Christmas. I see everything great. Although, black is beautiful, right, Tyrone? God, in his infinite, impersonal love, designed the plan of salvation. He sent his Son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that first Christmas is the greatest miracle that this world will ever, ever know or see. There is no miracle greater than the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. He took on true humanity to go to a cross and pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Every member of the human race, every unbeliever, all the sins of mankind were poured out on Christ and judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. That's God the Father and God the Son's infinite, impersonal love for all mankind. Why? Because God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every member of the human race is just one step away from eternal salvation. But it's not because you're religious. You're not because you're a Catholic. Catholics don't go to heaven. All Catholics do not go to heaven. There will be some that are in heaven. There will be lots that are in hell. Most of them in hell. Religion is not the basis of salvation. And I made that very clear with my cardiologist, who grew up in a family of Catholicism. And Dr. Ruggieroli Sr. was my first cardiologist. Now Dr. Ruggieroli Jr. is my cardiologist. I knew Dr. Ruggieroli Sr. grew up in a home of Roman Catholicism. And I gave him the gospel again and again and again and again. I gave him many of the colonel's basic booklets, gave them all to him. And when he was dying of cancer, the day before he died, I was called up and told that Dr. Ruggieroli was probably not going to live much longer. I went to the hospital and I walked in and God set it all up. No family were there, no doctors were there, nothing was there, just Dr. Ruggieroli. And I came in to him and I said, he couldn't talk. His cancer had ravaged him. In fact, I never would have known that it was my doctor. I didn't even recognize him. The cancer had just eaten him up. I said, Doc, first of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. And there's really no way I can pay you back for all the things you've done for me. But there is one thing I can do for you. I said, I know you have a Catholic background, but you're not going to be in heaven because you're a Catholic. All Catholics do not go to heaven. Period. Over and out. That's religion. I said, Doc, there's only one way you're going to be in heaven with God forever and ever. And that is to personally believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust Him and Him alone, that He did all the work, that Jesus Christ did all the work, and that you can't do anything, Doc. You can't do one thing more than what Christ did on the cross. He did all the work. And because He paid the penalty for your sins and did all the work, there's only one thing. All you can do is simply believe in Him. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. He understood. And he reached out his hand. He couldn't talk. Reached out his hand and grabbed my hand and he squeezed it as hard as he could squeeze it. I said, Doc, take that as a yes, and I'll see you in heaven. And I turned around and walked out, and as I was walking out, his wife was coming in with the rosary beads. But I knew Doc had believed in Christ, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So when I was in to see his son, Doc Ruggieroli Jr., I said, I saw your dad just hours before he died, and he's in heaven. I said, your dad is in heaven. And Dr. Ruggieroli closed the door, and he turned to me, tell me everything. Tell me everything that went on. So I told him just what I told you. He said, Pastor Olson, thank you very, very much for going and talking to my dad. I said, yeah. I said, Doc, same thing it goes for you. He says, I know. I know it's not about Catholicism. He says, I know I was raised up in that too. But he says, I know it's faith in Christ and that's it. I know that. I know it's not religion. And I said, okay. I said, well, that's great. And thing is, when I started to see Dr. Ruggieroli Sr., I had all these irregular heartbeats, everything. And then he told me one day, he says, I don't know what you're going to die of, and I don't know what I'm going to die of, but we're not going to die of what we both have the same thing. We're not going to die of that. And he did. He was right. He didn't die of that. He died of cancer. So, and originally he got me on beta blocker. Wow, that just, I thought I was going to die. We were staying here at the church and I was laying on, we were sleeping on the floor because we didn't have a bed or anything else. And I thought I was having a heart attack and I was going to die taking this damn beta blocker. I got on the phone and I said, Doc, I'm never taking another beta blocker forever, the rest of my life, and my life might end tonight. And then I started looking up Dr. Atkins. And he said, you ought to take for your regular heartbeat magnesium supplement. The magnesium is the heart supplement. So I started taking it. The next time I went in to see Dr. Ruggieroli Sr., he says, you made a great decision, Pastor Olson. You made a great decision to stop that. He said, there's several patients that I have had who died taking the beta blocker for irregular heartbeat. He said, now he says, I recommend they take a magnesium supplement. I said, I'm ahead of you. I've been taking it. And he'd always check me. He says, no, you don't have any irregular heartbeat. No, you're fine. You're doing great. Keep taking that magnesium supplement. All of that was free of charge and no extra charge for that. But since God is immutable and has infinite personal love for every believer, it is impossible for God to do anything which is incompatible with his infinite personal love for us. 7. Therefore, the death of every believer is an expression of the perfect love of God for each one of us, royal family of God, no matter how we die. Therefore, the death of every believer is an expression of the perfect love of God for each one of us, no matter how we die. God's love for us is never affected by our failures or successes in the spiritual life. 8. Therefore, the death of the believer is an expression of the infinite personal love of God for each one of us. Therefore, the death of the believer in Jesus Christ is an expression of the infinite personal love of God for each one of us. Point 11. Causes of physical death of the believer. First of all, dying grace. Dying grace is the death of the winner believer. Dying grace, the death of the winner believer. Secondly, maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death, the death of the loser believer. So the winner believer dies through dying grace, the loser believer dies through maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. And then third, there's another category, the reversionistic superimposition of human volition over divine sovereignty. And that is suicide. The reversionistic superimposition of human volition over divine sovereignty. And that is suicide. And it's sad to say today, but there are more and more people committing suicide. And I'm talking about young people. Young people. What does that mean? They've run out of options. They've run out of options. And that's the only thing that they see left. It's so sad. Point 12. Point 12 is the principle of dying grace. The principle of dying grace. 1. Dying grace is the death of the spiritually adult believer. Dying grace is the death of the spiritually adult believer. Two. Dying grace is the death of the believer who has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He's advanced to spiritual maturity, and he has accomplished the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue love has been brought to completion in his heart. And therefore, he has personal love for God the Father. He has impersonal love for all mankind. He has occupation with Jesus Christ and shares the happiness of God. Dying grace is the death of the believer who has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, has attained spiritual maturity and accomplished the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Christ, sharing the happiness of God. Three, it is the experience of physical death under the special provision of grace, whereby the believer involved experiences both blessing and happiness while dying. Dying grace it is the experience of physical death under special provision of grace, whereby the believer involved experiences both blessing and happiness while dying. Four, dying grace can occur regardless of the amount of pain and suffering while dying. That's not the issue. Dying grace doesn't matter how much pain or suffering there is while you're going through the dying. There could be maximum pain, or there could be little or no pain. But in either case, there is maximum happiness and soul stimulation. So dying grace can occur regardless of whether there's a lot of pain and suffering, or whether there's little or no pain and suffering. But in either case, there is maximum happiness and soul stimulation. Five, dying grace is a part of the winner believer's greater grace blessing package. Dying grace is a part of the winner believer's greater grace blessing package. It is the link between greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings in eternity. It's the bridge. Dying grace is the bridge which takes the believer from grace, greater grace blessings in time, to grace, greater grace blessings in eternity. While greater grace blessings in time is the best, in time, dying grace is better. Dying grace is better, and greater grace blessing for all eternity is better than the best. Six, dying grace removes the fear of death. There is no fear of death for the believer going and receiving dying grace blessing from the Lord. Turn over to Psalm 23. We studied Psalm 23 in great detail. The author, human author of Psalm 23 is David. David is a winner believer, spiritually mature believer. The author of most of the Psalms, the greatest military hero in the nation Israel, the greatest soldier and the greatest king ever in the nation Israel. And David died with dying grace. And he describes it. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. What is that? Virtue loves brought to completion in his heart. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And knowing, loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, well, he knows that Jesus Christ has his hand and is with him and will take him all the way through from being on the earth to face with the Lord. Thou art with me. Occupation with Jesus Christ. I fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Occupation with Christ. Now the reversionist, he doesn't even know Christ. There's no occupation with Christ. There's no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loves everything but God. But the winner believer, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Occupation with Christ. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the dying grace of the great believer David. 7. The Apostle Paul died under dying grace and described it. He described it in Philippians 1, 20 and 21. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. Philippians 1, verse 20. According to my intense concentration and confidence that I will in no way be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then he describes it again in 2 Timothy 4. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. 2 Timothy is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. He is in the Mamertine dungeon. He is waiting his execution. He's being held as a criminal. His crime is that he's a believer in Jesus Christ. His crime is that he has been proclaiming the good news about the only Savior, Jesus Christ. He has been fulfilling his royal ambassadorship. He has been proclaiming the absolute truth of the Word of God. And for that, he is going to be executed. I am already being poured out like a drink offering. and the time has come for my departure. That's how he describes his physical death. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, the judgment seat of Christ. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All winner believers. Point 13. Death is a reminder. Death is a reminder. One, death is a reminder that time is short in our temporary body, our tent that we live in here on earth. Death is a reminder that time is short in our temporary body, our tent that we are living in while on planet earth. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13. Starting at verse 13, now listen. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a vapor. You're a mist. You're a vapor trail. You're here today and gone tomorrow. You're a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Total arrogance. Anyone then who knows the good, that which is intrinsically good, he ought to do, and doesn't do it, he sins. Two. Since our time on earth is very short, since we're just a vapor, just a mist, we're here today and gone tomorrow, since our time on earth is short, we are commanded to make the most of every opportunity to live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity. Since our time on earth is short, you're here today and you're gone tomorrow. You think you're going to be here a long time? Huh. When I was at WSU, there was a fellow, he was an Arab. And I gave him the gospel, and he looked at me and he said, Olson, I don't want to hear about that stuff. I'm just a young guy in college. I don't want to hear about it. When I get to be an old man rocking on a chair on the front porch, then come and talk to me. I said, how do you know you're going to live to be an old man? You might die tonight. I said that right to him. God put that in my mind to tell him. How do you know you're going to be an old man? You might die tonight. Oh, Olson. Well, he did. He almost died that night. He went over to Moscow. All of the drinking age in Moscow was lower than in Washington, because in Moscow, that's Idaho. He went over and they got plastered in Idaho and they're on their way back. The most dangerous road in the United States is the 11 miles between Moscow, Idaho, and Pullman, Washington, because of all these drunk college kids driving home after getting plastered. They were on their way home, and a car pulled out to pass, and the other lane coming at them, and they came that close to a head-on collision. That close. This guy thought he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. He could not get to my room fast enough. That same night, knocks on the door. Olson, how did you know I was going to die tonight? Oh, I said, I didn't. You do look pretty bad, but it looks like you're living, though. And then he explained what happened. He said, now, would you tell me again? How can I know that I will be with God forever in heaven? So I gave him the gospel again. And he believed in Jesus Christ right there. So you're sitting here, some of you, and think you're going to be here for a long time. Well, you might die tonight. Don't die in here. Wait till you get out and get in your car and do it that way. It's just too messy. You get in here. And although we do have now some new stuff, if you have heart problems, why, we can get stuff on you. Boom! You know, shoot you through the roof. We're set up now. So since our time on earth is short, we're commanded to redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity to live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as the unwise, but as the wise. And how do you live with as the wise? Making the most of every opportunity. That also means redeem the time. The time is very short. Your time here is very short. Redeem the time. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. 3. Death is a reminder of the futility of cosmic glory and wealth. Death is a reminder of the futility of cosmic glory and wealth, and of fame, and of profit. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We have a lot of people, this is their MO. About the only thing that, the number one thing in most people's life today is money. How much money can I get? Everything. Money is the bottom line. And that's the bottom line for just about everything that goes on in America. And that goes for sports, athletics. That goes even for college sports. It just gets to be sickening. There's no virtue. There's no honor. There's no integrity anymore. It's all about what's the bottom line? Money. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Mark 8, What good is it for a man to gain the whole world? So what? You gain the whole world. You got all the money, everything. You have all the money in the world. You have it yourself. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet he forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? That's the Lord Jesus Christ making the issue very clear. 4, death is a reminder to live your life in the light of eternity. Death is a reminder to live your life in the light of eternity. Five, death is a reminder of the certainty of judgment for the unbeliever. Death is a reminder of the certainty of judgment for the unbeliever. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 verse 27. Just as man, and man here is the unbeliever, just as the unbeliever is destined to die once, physical death, and after that to face judgment, the second death, and the lake of fire, Revelation 20, 11 to 15. And John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. John 3 verse 18. Whoever believes in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's uniquely born Son. And then John reiterates, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That's faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 again. This is, by the way, this is a great, great chapter. But we got so many wonderful things here. I could stay in, well, I have stayed in verse 1 about a month. Pretty good. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. All right? One, God creates the real you, soul life, and puts you in your earthly house, your tent, your physical body at physical birth. God creates the real you, soul life, and puts you in your earthly house, your tent, the physical body at physical birth. Two, God is also the one who takes the earthly house down, the tent, takes the tent down at physical death. God is also the one who takes the tent down at physical death. So God is the one who put you in your temporary house, the human body, at physical birth, and God is the one who takes you out of your temporary house at physical death. Three, both physical birth and physical death are a matter of the sovereignty of God. Both physical birth and physical death are a matter of the sovereignty of God. Now in this, as Paul is writing 2 Corinthians 5, Paul is not concerned for a moment about physical death. Not for a moment. About having this earthly house, this human body taken down. Why? The reason why is that he knows absolutely that he has an eternal house from God in heaven, the resurrection body. Four. God is the designer of our resurrection body. And the resurrection body was not made with human hands. Five, the Lord Jesus Christ described his own resurrection body as a temple made without hands. Mark 14:58. The Lord Jesus Christ described his own resurrection body as a temple made without hands. Turn over to Mark 14. Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 58. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple, physical body, made with hand, and in 3 days I will build another made without hand, resurrection body. Sixth, our resurrection body is a building, a house that our soul and human spirit will live in forever. Our resurrection body is a building, a house that our soul and human spirit will live in forever. Seven, our resurrection body is eternal and enables us to live in heaven. Our resurrection body is eternal and enables us to live in heaven, and this is something that this tent we're living in now, this mortal body, could never, ever do. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.